Morning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. When you read the epistle that Paul wrote to the Galatians, you're faced with the question that we ask ourselves, would I dwell with God? Would I dwell in his presence, and will I be accepted of God and be a partaker of his inheritance? And the answer that those who are given faith by the Spirit of God, the answer to that is, then believe. Believe the true and living God. Believe him now by faith and live in that faith which your God has given to you. And the reason why the Lord teaches us this is because the natural man thinks that we obtain favor with God and that we live with our God and gain life, spiritual life with our God through the things that we do, through the works of the flesh. And so the natural man tries to satisfy that hope that I will live with God, that God will be merciful and gracious to me, that God will save me, is by the good works that he or she does. The natural man looks to our works for favor with God. But the Word of God teaches us that to live with God, to be accepted of him, to stand in his presence, we must be justified of God. We must be justified by the Lord. Now, to be justified, what does that mean? It means that we are holy as God is holy. It means that we're perfect as God is perfect. To be justified with God means that we're righteous as God is righteous. Because God only declares a man or woman justified who is righteous. If we're not righteous, he doesn't declare us righteous. He doesn't impute righteousness where there is no righteousness. Now look at verse 6, Galatians 3, 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or imputed to him for righteousness. And so the Lord is telling us that you who would be justified with God, there is a way of righteousness. There is a way to be declared righteous. There is a way in which we are made righteous, but that way is contrary to the natural man. It's contrary to our flesh. You see, the natural or carnal man thinks that by my doing, I am made righteous. By my doing, I'm declaring my righteousness. By the things that I do is what makes the difference between a sinner saved and a sinner lost. But the Word of God teaches us that which is contrary to the natural man. That which is true, according to the Word of God, is that he makes a man righteous. He's the one that reveals righteousness in his people. And so, for a great many in this world, they're trusting their own works for their righteousness. And for many, that means religious good works. That I must put myself in religion and I must follow some religious way, and that is what makes me righteous. But the truth is, it's not our works. It's not even religious good works that make us righteous. It's not what we do that is salvation, or that obtains us or earns us salvation. In fact, in Romans 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, and that's what the majority of Christendom, the majority of people who call themselves Christians, they think it's by the deeds of the law that we are righteous. And Paul says, well, wait a minute. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, declared righteous in God's sight, Why? Because by the law, we have the knowledge of sin. The law is declaring to us that we are sinners. Because when you see the law rightly, and you see yourselves rightly, your own heart, your own mind, your own works, you see, I fall short of the glory of God. I'm coming up short of His perfection and holiness. I seem to do some things well, but I offend over here in these points, and therefore I've broken the whole law. And I'm not making myself righteous. I'm heaping upon myself curses for my breaking of the law. I'm not righteous before the true and living God. And so salvation and righteousness, these are not something that men work and gain for themselves by their works, by their doing. These instead, salvation and righteousness, are spiritual blessings that are given to us by the grace of God revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our God freely gives us His salvation. He freely blesses us with righteousness in and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our God reveals this to us. He makes it known to us through the preaching of the gospel. He's revealed true righteousness. He reveals the way of salvation and the way of righteousness through the gospel that exalts before us, that holds up before our eyes the crucified Lord and Savior, who willingly gave His life to put away our sins, to wash us by His blood, to make us righteous in Him by giving us His Holy Spirit, whereby we hear what our Savior has done, whereby we hear what our Lord has done for us. And through that preaching, God manifests in you that are here, that are His, He manifests that you are His children through faith, revealed in you, through faith which God has given to you, so that God is declaring them that are His, because they believe the word of God. They believe that God has provided salvation. They believe God that in Christ and in Christ alone, I am righteous to stand before God. I'm accepted of Him. I am holy by the Lord Jesus Christ, set apart for His use by the Spirit of God. And so He reveals it. He makes it manifest in us. And that's what we see in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. There it says, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm trusting what God has declared to me through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He is my righteousness, that the blood of Christ is sufficient to save a sinner, even me, in all my wickedness, in all my unrighteousness, in all my filth and trespasses and iniquities before God, even I am cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I'm not looking for another righteousness. I'm not looking for my works or looking to my works or boasting of something that I have done. My boast is of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, because there's no difference. Every one of us who are saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. God's revealing in you them that are His because they believe. That's the revelation. It's the manifestation that I am a child of Abraham, a child of God. God's given me faith just as He gave to Abraham. As it's written, the just shall live by faith, by faith. And so that's how our God sets us free from the bondage of this flesh, the bondage of our sin and death, the bondage of the yoke of religion trying to work a righteousness for ourselves. We're set free through faith. And that's what I've titled the message, Set Free through faith. We're delivered by the faith which our God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're delivered by Christ, and we behold that deliverance, and we receive that deliverance and believe that deliverance through the faith which he gives us in Christ. So our Lord makes it clear to us in his word that if we would be holy, if we would be righteous, if we would be forgiven, if we would be accepted of God, if we would be justified by God, then be like Abraham, believe God. Believe God just like Abraham believed God. And that's what it said there in Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God imputed, that man is righteous, because he believed God. And God was testifying that he is righteous by revealing faith in Abraham. That was the distinguishing mark. Abraham wasn't looking to his works, he was believing what God had declared to him. And so Abraham believed the gospel which the Lord Jesus Christ declared to him in that day. It says in Galatians 3:8, and the scripture, the word of God, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. The Spirit knows the mind of God, and the Spirit reveals to us the mind of God. And so the Spirit, the Lord preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Through your seed, Abraham, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, all the nations, all the families of the earth, from all the families, from all the nations, the tongues, the tribes, and the nations in the earth, they shall be blessed. My people shall be blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall spring from thy loins, from thy seed. He is the seed of promise. Now, we looked at this last time when we were looking at Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis 12:3, when the Lord said, I will bless thee that bless you. I'll bless them, rather, that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in that, God declared grace to Abraham. Not for anything that Abraham did. Nothing that Abraham did made him special. God made him special because God chose him out of all the peoples to be gracious to him, to bless him, that through his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ would come, who is the salvation of his people. And Abraham believed God. Verse 7, Galatians 3:7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And so we saw that those who are of faith like Abraham, they're blessed of God in that they bless Abraham. They say, Abraham, I believe God just like you believe God. I rest in the promise of God declared to you. That's blessing Abraham. And it shows that we are blessed of God. And those who say, no, no, I'm justified by the works of the law, by my doing, they curse Abraham and testify that they are under the curse of God because they don't believe, unlike Abraham, who believed God. And so you that believe the promise of your God that it's by the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone that I am saved and justified with God, you're blessed with faithful Abraham, and you testify that you are the children of Abraham by that faith which God reveals in you that believe. And so faith believes God and it trusts him who said in John 6:40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and we see him to this day by faith, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And we believe him who spoke that word. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who is our resurrection. He's our power. For he has raised us up even this day by faith and given us a demonstration of his power and glory in us, which believes him who spoke these words, saying, look to me, trust me, believe me, and you shall be saved. You shall not be ashamed, but you shall be raised up in that day when I return for my saints, my purchased possession. I'll raise you up, I'll lift you up. You shall not remain in death, but you're mine, and you're my child, and you shall live forever with me. To him, Peter said, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. All your sins are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. All your sins are put away. There's nothing to be ashamed of in Christ. He's done it all. He's provided life to you freely in grace. How do I know if I'm his child? You believe. You that believe him and trust him, having no other hope of salvation, no other hope of righteousness, but Christ and Christ alone, you do testify. God's revealing in you, making manifest in you that you are his child, because you have no other hope of righteousness. And the faith of Christ beats down and puts down the foolishness of this mind, the foolish, vain ideas of this flesh that rise up in us, thinking that there's something we can or should or must do. And Christ says, no, no, you look to me, trust me. And we find that we're his workmanship and his grace, so that when we do something in the name of our God, it's because we are justified, not because we're hoping to be justified. We trust him. We believe him. And that's his manifestation of grace. So then, verse 9, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You that believe Christ, believe the word of God and testify that I am a child of Abraham. God has blessed me and given me this faith and hope in his son, which the prophets all testify to, that I am forgiven through the blood of Christ. Thanks be to God. But there's many in religion who have an appearance of faith. They have an appearance of holiness. They have an appearance of righteousness. But all that they have is an appearance, just a shadow of that which is not real. They're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trusting their own works of the law. And so those that are of the flesh, there's nothing spiritual about them. It's all fleshly works. It's all the operation of the flesh. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have eternal life. They don't know the truth. There's no light in them, and they don't know the way of salvation. They don't know the way that God has provided, because they hear of Christ, they think of him, but they think little of him, because they think, now I've got to go and get to doing. I've got to go and justify myself before God. And verse 10, Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. They're not children of Abraham. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. They're in bondage. They're shut up to the grace of God. They're dwelling in the pit of this flesh, the pit of corruption. They're corrupted even now. And all their works are defiled and full of wickedness, because they're trusting in their works for their righteousness. And man boasts of his will, of his free will, of what he's done, but all they are is just bouncing around in the pit of corruption. They're free to do what they want, and what they do is to glory in self. They work in idolatry. They work trusting their own works and what they do in the name of God. They think that is their salvation. And the Lord tells us this flesh has no part in spiritual heavenly things. Only God produces life. He gives the Spirit whereby we are regenerated, whereby we're born again, whereby we're given that spiritual life that we don't have from our parents, that we're not born with in Adam. This flesh is corrupt, this flesh is sinful, this flesh is vile, and the one who turns us and delivers us from the bondage of this flesh and the corruption of our dark ways, and trusting in them, or even making excuses for them, or thinking that these things don't matter. Our Lord delivers us from all of that by his blood, by establishing us in the hope and faith of the redeemed, by trusting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he gives life. John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, where he wants to go. The wind bloweth where it wants to go, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Right? You hear its movement in the trees and the leaves and blowing things across the lawn. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So that the manifestation of his grace is faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will love him, and you will love your brethren, and you will trust him, and you will do good works, all because Christ is in you, because you love him, because you are justified, and you have been set free from the bondage of sin and death, not to labor in those things under fear and doubt and worry and misery, but because you have the hope of eternal life, which is revealed in the children of Abraham who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, man who trusts his own works brings himself under the curse of the law, because the law requires that we do, that we get to doing, and that we keep on doing, and never cease to do. And so, that's what the law requires, that we do, keep on doing. And you better do every part of the law perfectly, because once you offend in one spot, you've broken the whole thing and brought yourself under all the curses of the law. And so as many as are of the works of the law, Paul said in verse 10 again, they are under the curse of the law. They're testifying, I'm of the works of the law, and therefore under all its curses too. And so Paul was quoting from Deuteronomy 27:26 when he says at the end of verse 10, it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so while man is busy doing his works of the law and busy doing his religious good works and thinking that these things save him, he's really just heaping on his head curses and making the pile of our debt that we owe righteousness to God, he's making that debt greater and greater and greater, and committing more works of unrighteousness. And so Paul countered that in Romans 3:19 when he said, no, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law declares the righteousness of God. The law shows us the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. Well, didn't Adam just take a bite of the forbidden fruit? What's so bad about that? Oh, no, no. In biting that fruit, he broke all the law of God. And we see his rebellion to this day in this heart. In our own heart, we see what rebels we are, how disobedient we are, how worthy of condemnation and wrath we are, because we're sinners. And we've done that which is wicked. And we see the progression of our wickedness and vileness and the working out of hatred and cruelty and the coldness and the wickedness of man, because it's in our own hearts and in our own minds. And God declares the word to show us, he declares the law to show us that, no, we didn't just bite of the forbidden fruit. No, we broke all the law of God and became rebels and were defiled in our minds and corrupted and dead spiritually. And can't turn that around. We can't work a salvation. We can't work a righteousness, because everything we do just continues to declare, I'm not trusting God. I'm not hearing what God has said. I'm just plowing ahead in my own righteousness, which is just filthy rags and not pleasing to God. And so our God is teaching us in his word. He's showing us the truth. He's showing us the law, not so that we save ourselves by the law, but to show us that it's God who makes the difference, because we are defiled and we've fallen short. It's God who is gracious, to whom he will be gracious. Lord, be gracious to me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's how he manifests that he is gracious to you, because you trust in Christ and him alone. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And so our God declares the gospel to you. He's gathered you together to hear his word of peace and reconciliation, and how he is gracious to sinners. And you that believe testify that God is gracious to you. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith, not of yourselves, not of this flesh, that faith is the gift of God, whereby you believe and you trust him. And so those who are justified by God in Christ, they live upon the faith of Christ. We live upon the faithfulness of Christ in fulfilling all the will of God perfectly. And for us, we live upon his faithfulness. And we live upon that faith which he's given to us, that looks to him and believes him and trusts him. And so Paul wrote it this way in Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. So that ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He's none of his. And you won't believe Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you won't believe Christ and rest in him. But if Christ be in you, this body is dead because of sin. You're not going to see this flesh turn all these things around and get things right and work perfect righteousness. We still feel the burden of sin. We still feel the pushings against the new man and the work of Christ in us by the old man of this flesh. This flesh is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because of Christ our righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That is to come. We shall be made like unto him, for we shall see him as he is when he returns by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And this resurrection power is declared in you even this day by the faith which is revealed in you that looks to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the resurrection power of God working in you, overcoming all your sin, overcoming all your doubts, overcoming all your works of iniquity which you've done and your flesh still walks in to this day. He overcomes it all by the blood of Christ, whereby you continue to believe him. Because the new man cannot sin. You cannot stop believing. You can't turn away you're in the new man, because the new man can only believe Christ and sins not, because it's born of Christ and it's incorruptible. And therefore you believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe him who said, trust my son, look to him. I've provided him for your righteousness. And you can't not believe, because that is born in you of Christ. It's of his seed, and he cannot doubt. He cannot turn from Christ and apostatize from Christ. We believe him and continue him in the face of all this corruption, in the face of the wickedness around us and the wickedness within. We trust Christ within this flesh, I mean. We continue to trust Christ in the new man, overcoming all the opposition of this flesh, because God is our God. And Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so this salvation is shown to us against the backdrop of this vile flesh. And Paul writes in verse 12, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Now, there's three things which Paul is declaring to us in verse 12. Three things that show us our inability to save ourselves so that we're not charmed by the foolish arguments of the flesh. There's three things. First, we see that the law is not able to produce a righteousness in us. The law can't make you righteous. The law declares what you are. And in the flesh, we're not righteous. We're not. And we're not worthy of eternal life. Why? Or what does he say? The law is not of faith. It's not of faith. We need a spiritual salvation. Paul said, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law declares the truth of God. The law declares the righteousness of God. I'm the problem. My flesh is the problem. I'm weak and unable to save myself and to turn things around. And so we see only God can produce salvation. God is the one who creates the sons of God. God's the one who takes the stones and causes them to cry out and give glory to God. God's the one that takes this adamant stone of a heart, this hard heart, and removes it and puts in us a heart of flesh, that is, a heart born of the seed of Christ that hears and believes God and is turned from his wicked ways, as Ezekiel wrote. Second, the law requires doing. The law isn't satisfied with your hearing. The law isn't satisfied with you acknowledging and saying, yeah, that's the truth. The law isn't satisfied with you believing that's the truth. The law requires doing, and doing exactly as the law lays it out, perfectly, in every point, in every jot, and in every tittle. It's the man that doeth them. Doeth them. That does them. And religion's all about doing. That's what religion does, but religion comes up short. You cannot fulfill it perfectly. Whereas faith is all about believing God's promise in Christ. Paul said in Romans 4, verses 5 and 6, "To him that worketh not, to him that's not trying to obtain a righteousness by his works, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." We believe and rest in Christ and trust that Christ works in us and that he's producing what he will, that fruit of faith and hope and joy and love and forgiveness, and kindness, and faithfulness, and gentleness with one another. He's the one that turns us and bears these fruits of righteousness in us, whereby we glory in him who is faithful and kind to work his will in us and to turn us from ourselves and trusting ourselves. It's all of him. And then finally, in verse 12, we see the realm of man's works. He shall live in them. In other words, you that are of the flesh, of the law, the works of the law, you're living under the curse of the law, because you're trying to work a righteousness by this flesh which can never be. And so there's no liberty in that. There's no liberty under the yoke of the law, because it's about doing. It's about doing it perfectly, without fail in any way. But faith delivers. And our Savior promises to deliver his people out of the bondage of death, out of the bondage of the yoke of the law, because we are dead to the law in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to him, to our Savior, the porter, the Holy Spirit openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out of bondage, out of the prison of darkness, out of those things which defile and cannot save, and he brings us into the kingdom of light and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. He delivers us out of that, hoping and trusting in the free will which cannot save us. The hope of man, the hope of his flesh which cannot save. He delivers us from that and sets us free in the liberty of the sons of God who believe like Abraham, trusting the word of God, that Christ's blood is sufficient for me. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Come into the light. We are sinners who cannot save ourselves. That's not what God's looking for, is perfection from this flesh. He's looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all who come into the light of Christ, trusting him, have nothing to fear. There's no shame. Trust your Savior. Trust your God. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places, because that's where the just live. That's where the just dwell and feed, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him, brethren. He blesses you that trust him. The very trust you have is his blessing for you. So I pray he continue to stoke that fervent faith and hope that you have, not in yourselves, but in Christ, and that he bless you there in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.